chapter 9, verse 1. It says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Kind of Psalms kind of go along with what this morning again, right? I mean, you know, talking about the goodness of God and all the things. But I want to talk about just a little bit this afternoon about the importance of praise. And maybe talk about a few methods of praise. And then some reasons for praise. It's very important, all these, you know, it's very important that we praise. And it's been said that, you know, there's different ways to praise. You know, you can praise God, you know, just verbally, just yourself, just having your own little Holy Ghost time in your private prayer time. Or you can praise Him to other people. You can, just different ways that you can praise God. You can praise Him in a fast song. You can praise Him in a slow song. You can, you know, worship Him in fast and you can worship Him slow. There's just different modes and different ways. And some people prefer a slow song to get into the worship mode, and other people want a fast song. Some people want to dance, and other people just want to close their eyes and maybe sway with the music. I mean, there's different ways to worship God and different ways to praise God, is what I'm trying to say. And we're all different people, so we all have different modes of praise and different modes of worship. Is that not correct? So we all do it differently. Someone might be standing on the front pew with their arms crossed, with their eyes closed, and you're back there and you think, oh, man, they're not into this at all. And they may be up there just lost in another world, a spiritual world, just really worshiping God. But that's their, you know, that's their mode. That's the way. Other times they may have their hands up. Sometimes we judge by what we see, and we're not really seeing what God's seeing, nor hearing what God is hearing. Because He looks at the heart, and we just look at the outward. So there's different modes, different methods, different way reasons, but there's importance. Praise is very important, and the Scriptures often, very often, exhort people to praise. And there's so we're to praise the Lord. And so the Israelites were called to praise God with three different basic words, and the word Barak means to bless God. So we are to bless God. When I pray, often I start off my prayer with blessing. Lord, I bless you. I praise you. I just bless you, Lord. I thank you for all your things you've done in my life and things I don't even know you've done. I thank you for it. I mean, I just bless God. Thank you, Lord. And bless His name. And then there's another word. It's called halal. Halal. From which hallelujah, meaning to praise the Lord. Hallah. Halal. Something to that effect. I don't know exactly how you say it, but hallah. And so that's to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so we use that a lot. Another word is yada, which is means to give thanks. So it's not yabba dabba doo, it's yada. It means to give thanks. And so we're to give thanks. And so when you praise God, You're exhorting God, you're blessing God, you're saying hallelujah, praise the Lord, and you're saying thank you, Lord. There's things He does in our lives that we should be grateful for. Instead of finding the negative all the time, we need to look for the positive. Now, I'm preaching to me, okay? Y'all don't have to take none of this if you don't want it. There's times, you know, my life goes really well. I told you that this morning. I have no bad things to talk about last year, only good things to look forward to this year. But sometimes the spirit of depression comes on me. Maybe it doesn't come on you, but every now and then it comes on me. And I've got to just shake myself and say, well, I'm going to bless the Lord anyway. I'm going to praise my way out of this depression, this bad spirit that's come over me. I'm just going to praise my way out of it. And I'm going to give thanks to God. So that's what we have to do, ladies and gentlemen. I want to encourage you this year, if you don't do anything else, to give God praise. To lift up His name and to glorify Him and put Him as first place in your life. And so the Bible's very first song was sung by the Israelites. as they crossed over the Red Sea, and they gave a song of praise and thanksgiving in Exodus the 15th chapter. I'm not going to go there and read it to you, but they began to praise God. Moses led them in a song of praise. God had delivered them out of the land of Egypt. He had delivered them from this 400 years of bondage, and had crossed the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army just hot on their tail, and God had sent a pillar of fire to stop them, and then he had opened up the sea so they could cross over on dry ground. Wow, wouldn't you want to praise God after that? And they gave a praise to God after that. And so, but all through the Lord, all through the Bible, we see where God's people, after great victories, and even before them oftentimes, they would praise God. They lived in an attitude of praise. The real genuine Christians, or genuine men or women of God, lived their lives with an attitude of worship and praise. Their lives are lived like that. They see the good of God in everything that goes on. Doesn't mean you don't have downtimes. It doesn't mean that you don't have some days where you wonder where God's at. That's not what I'm saying. But you shake yourself. You look at the positive side of it. You see that God's alive in your life. You understand that there's nothing bad going to touch you without God's permission. That God's a good God. And he loves his people. So we just continue to do that. So Jesus himself even told us to praise God. We can see when in the Luke 10th chapter, Jesus was just about to go to his death. And the Bible says he rejoiced in his spirit. If you read that, it says he rejoiced in his spirit. And I don't know if it's there or not, but Luke 10:21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. And said, I thank thee. He was going through some difficult times, but he rejoiced in his spirit. Outwardly, you may be having some really tough times. Outwardly, it may look like your world's about to end, but you can rejoice in your spirit anyhow and give him thanks. So that's what we need to do. So there's some different methods of praise. There's several of them easy. Praise really is a keynote of worship in a church. Praising God. When we sing these songs, before we sing three or four songs every service, and might sing them half a dozen times each. I don't know. Sometimes we sing them, but that we're not just doing that to take up time. That's not just a time filler. It's a time of praise. It's a keynote to corporate worship of God's people. That's a keynote to it. We begin to praise God through song. And that begins to open us up spiritually to hear the voice of the Lord through the Word. Oftentimes, if you really worship God like you ought, right through the songs, that's when God begins to minister to you. And the sermon may not even have a thing to do with what's going on in your life, but God ministers to you through the song. I've listened to a lot of songs. I got one in on my CD right now. I listen to that CD every day. Every day I listen to it here lately. It's just one of those. It's Brooklyn Tabernacle, and I listen to it every day. And those folks from that church wrote every song on that, and it's talking about the goodness of God and the things of God and what God's brought them through. And different songs in there I'll just have to stop whatever I'm doing. I just have to stop and just listen to it for a little while. Sometimes I start crying, and I've listened to it dozens of times. And those certain songs will speak and minister to my spirit. And I'll start worshiping God. Whatever I'm doing, I stop and I just worship the Lord for a while. Very beautiful. Not every CD does that for me. I can listen to some of them and say, well, that's done. I don't want to hear that no more. But I want to hear that over and over and over again because it ministers to me. And when it begins to minister, that song opens me up to the presence of God and encourages me in my spirit. And we need that. You need that. So it's worship. We does it. So we need corporate worship, and we need private worship. What we do here is corporate. But I encourage you to worship privately. That's my private time of worship. And I worship God privately. You need to worship God in corporate worship settings and in other places. We sing songs. We sing hymns. We sing spiritual songs. And that's a way to praise God. This is not about just entertainment. If it becomes entertainment, we're in the wrong business. And a lot of churches do. They can entertain you for hours. And they'll cut the lights down. They'll have some fog going. They might have some different disco type stuff. I mean, I don't know if disco anymore is what it would be. But you understand, lights and different things. And they'll put you on a show. And that might be all right if they're doing it for the right purpose, the right reason, people are receiving it in the right way. But it's not about a show. It's not a show. We're not putting on a performance. We're not getting ready to do a gig. We're up here to worship God. And you should be out there to worship God. It's not a show. We're here to worship Him. And I'm not against all that different stuff necessarily. It's not maybe my type, my style, but I'm just telling you. It's here. We're to come together in corporate worship to worship God, not to have our flesh, not to have our flesh soothed, but to worship God. And then that'll open our spirit up to the things of God. And so we sing songs and things. It can be sung with our mind, or it can be sung in the spirit. We have music. We have all these different instruments. We have various instruments. It can be horns, cornets, trumpets, steel guitar, lead guitar, bass guitar, piano and drums. It can be any number of things. It can never be a tambourine, though. Maybe once in a while. But not very often. Worship is in different ways. Different instruments. We all got a 10-string instrument. Right there, your five fingers. Right? We can all play a 10-string instrument. Every one of us can do that. And it's not too hard. Not difficult at all. So we have different types of instruments that we use. And there's nothing wrong with that. We also communicate God's praise by telling others. You can praise God by telling others about the deeds of God. Telling others what God has done for you. Telling others what God has done. And you say, hey, I read this story in the Bible. Can you believe God did that? And tell about the good things God. That's worship too. That's praise. Telling people about the good things of God. And so we forget that sometime. Peter told us as God's people. He says, we are God's chosen people to show forth the praises of Him who have called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's who we are. People to show forth His praises because He called us out of darkness into His light. Now, isn't that something to praise Him for? I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was heading to hell, but now I'm going to heaven. Isn't that something to praise God for? He picked me up out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock. Isn't that something to praise Him for? Absolutely. So we have a reason to that. So we need to always let our light shine. Jesus said, let your light shine before men so that you might, let me read that correctly, so people will see our good works and give glory and praise to God. We're supposed to do that so people can see what you're doing and give praise to God, how that God's done something in your life. It's very important. So then there's some reasons for praise. Why do you praise the Lord? Why do you praise the Lord? Think about that a minute. Why do you praise the Lord? Is it just because? Well, that's what we do on Sunday. Well, worship and service to God is not just a Sunday thing. And if it's just a Sunday thing to you, you've missed it. You've missed it altogether. You've missed it completely. If you just serve God on Sunday, you're probably in trouble. I don't think you're that group, though. I mean, you're come to church on Sunday, and you're here Sunday afternoon, and it's cold today, and people are sick all around us. We could have all said, well, I think I'll stay home because I get out amongst them people, I might get sick. Well, it's kind of hard to say that when you're going to get up on Monday morning, go to work, and be amongst them people, isn't it? I mean, you know, here you can see somebody sick, and you can avoid them. Work sometimes hard to do that. Whereas reasons to praise God. One of the very obvious reasons is because of the splendor, glory, and majesty of God. The splendor, glory, and majesty of God. Isn't God, think about it. We talked a little bit about it this morning. The majesty and the splendor and the glory of our God. There's no God like our God. There are how many gods that you have who slung the heaven into, who spoke the earth and heavens into existence? How many other gods have made animals, all forms of animals and all the herbs and all the grass, all the stars, all the planets, all the galaxies? That didn't just happen. God spoke it. God did it. Our God did it. Nobody else can do that. Nobody else can explain it. They try to. Scientists try to explain all this stuff. They can't explain it. They can't figure it out. But God can. God did it. He knows all about it. So we need to praise Him for that. He created the heavens and the earth. He's the one who's to be exalted in His holiness. God's holy. He's the only true holy thing out there, God. We try. We proclaim. We pretend. We accept His blood to shed for our remission of our sins, Jesus' blood, which makes us holy in God's sight, but we can't be totally holy. As long as we're on this side of the grave, we're not totally holy. We are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus, but you're not totally holy, but God is. And if God sinned, it'd make it right. He can't sin. So if He decided to do something we think sin, and He did it, it would make it right. It wouldn't be sin no more. Correct? But God said, this is sin. And if God said something's sin, you can rest assured He won't turn around and do it and change His mind. If He said that's a sin, it's a sin. If He said it's an abomination, it's an abomination. He won't change His mind about that. He set up the moral order of this world. And that was for our good. Can you imagine what this world would be like? We can't imagine what it would be like if Adam and Eve had not went and ate of that tree, fruit of that tree that He told them to leave alone. Can you imagine what it'd be like? There would be no death, be no sorrow, be no pain, be no sandbirds in the lawn. There was none. Everything was perfect, except that man He created. He gave him a free will. But God's worthy to be praised. We're to praise Him for His mighty acts, His acts of salvation and redemption. It's a key reason to praise Him. If you don't have anything else to praise Him for, praise Him because He saved you. He delivered you from darkness. I talked about that already, but He delivered you. Praise Him because He delivered you from darkness. Man, that's something to praise Him for. He deserves it. We go through life and we don't praise Him very often. Well, I don't know that, preacher. You don't know my life. No, I don't. But sometimes I suspect we get caught up in living, doing life, get caught up in the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches, and we forget to serve, we forget to praise God. We forget to put Him center of everything. He's the center. He should be center of it, not something we think of later. He should be center of everything we do. And it's hard. It's hard to remember that sometimes, but He should be. Another thing we can do in praising God is for His unfailing mercy, grace, and love. It's unfailing, His grace, His mercy, and His love. What's that one song? Out of His great love, He picked me up, set my feet on a solid rock. Something like that, out of His great love. He picked each of us up. Set our feet up on a rock. Established our comings and our goings. Saved you to the uttermost. Washed you clean, completely clean from your sins. Cast them into what He calls a sea of forgetfulness. Not to be remembered anymore. Saved you to the uttermost. Saved as you can be. Out of His love, His mercy, and His grace. And then He keeps you. You ought to praise Him because He keeps you saved. His grace and mercy is what keeps you saved. When you make a mistake, you can cry out, Father, Abba, forgive me. Abba, Father, forgive me. You ought to be crying out every day because we all make mistakes practically every day. Do something that might displease our Father. But we can praise Him because He loves us. Aren't you glad that He's not up there? You know, we used to think He had a big notepad with all of our names, you know, writing our names in there. And then take a big eraser and erase it out. That's what they used to say. Well, He don't. He's got a computer. And He puts your name in there. He can highlight your name and hit delete. He don't do that. You're going to have to do an awful lot to get Him to delete your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life once it's been put in there. You're going to have to make a conscious effort to get out of there. People do it. People walk away for whatever reason. But it's not simple. You got to make a decision that you're going to walk away from God, because God is standing right there saying, won't you come home? Won't you come back? I'm willing, I'm able to forgive you. My mercy endures forever. My love is everlasting. My grace is sufficient. Come back. We're the ones that write people off. First sign of, first little mistake. Maybe first big mistake. We write them off, but God's waiting for them to repent. What did he say? First Chronicles, Second Chronicles says, my people call on my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will heal their land and, you know, the rest of it. He also says in 1 John, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He didn't write that to the sinner. He wrote that to the church. If you sin, repent. That's something to thank God for. He's there with his unfailing love, mercy, and grace. Say, if you'll repent, I'll forgive. That's something to praise him for. That's something to praise him for. And then, there's specific acts of deliverance. How many of you can think of something God brought you through? I mean, you knew it was God. You would never made it through it if it hadn't been for God. A specific act of deliverance. That's something to praise him for. You were going through it. You didn't know what you were going to do. You know what direction to turn. Or you just knew you just had to trust God. It was hard because in your flesh you wanted to try to fix it. And you finally just had to, finally had to say, hey, God, I can't fix this. I need your help. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's some financial difficulty. Maybe it's a relationship problem. Any number of things. And you just finally had to say, God, if you don't do it, it won't be done. And God did it. Came through for you. That's something to praise him for. All these different things are something to praise him for. He's healed our diseases. He's rescued us from our enemies. How many has somebody really angry at you before, mad at you, and your enemy? And God brought reconciliation, restoration in the relationship. He does that, doesn't he? He does that too. He rescues us. He touches us physically. We prayed for several people this morning. At least 15 people this morning. Probably more. I'm expecting to hear good results. And when we hear the good results, it's not because we're such a great, powerful church. It's because we serve a great, powerful, healing God. And so we don't get any glory for it. He gets the glory. I'm glad that I'm a part of the kingdom of God. I'm glad that people have confidence in our prayer. But it's God that does the work. We have to release some faith. I understand that. But it's God who gets the glory. It's not us. It's God. And then, finally, somebody needs to sing a song or two. Finally, God's continual providential care and provisions day by day for the physical and the spiritual. God supplies, Paul said, and my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's not just physical, but that's spiritual. God supplies your spiritual and your physical needs day by day. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. He didn't say, give me enough to last me a lifetime. He said, pray that God would take care of you daily. And what's God do? He takes care of you daily. Jesus said, give no care or no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow is sufficient of itself. Amen? He says, I'll take care of tomorrow. You trust me today. Jesus said, I know what you have need of. God knows what you have need of, even before you ask, but ask. Amen. He says, consider the sparrow. It doesn't reap. It doesn't sow. It doesn't reap. Consider the lily of the field. It doesn't sow. It doesn't reap. It doesn't give no thought. But it's nothing more beautiful than that lily. He says, I take care of the sparrow, and I take care of the flowers of the field. Why would I not take care of you? That's my paraphrase. Why would I not take care of you? He takes care of us. That's something to praise him for. His care, his provision, day by day, physically and spiritually, are very powerful reasons to praise him. He takes care of our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. What did he go on to say? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I can't quote it all right now because I'm trying to. Well, I know that part. That's the end of it. Did I get there already? I thought I missed some. He takes care of us. But his is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. He's God. That's how Jesus gave us just a simple model how to pray. Give praise. Thank God for the daily provision. I don't know what you have need of today, but God knows. I don't know what you might have need of next week, but God knows, and he's already making provision for it. He's not only the God of today, he's the God of tomorrow. And the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He doesn't change. He's the same God. If he provided something to eat, you know, the Israelites were in captivity for over 400 years, around 400 years in Egypt. He provided their daily needs every day. It wasn't much, but they got what they needed. Those onions and garlic sustained them through years of toil and slavery. They worked hard, and God sustained them. And then he finally delivered them. What happened after the deliverance? They turned their back on him. They did. If we're not careful, we'll do the same thing. God will make meet a great need, and we'll get comfortable in where we're at, and we'll forget God. Don't forget God. He is worthy of praise. Totally worthy of praise. Amen? So there's a few reasons. Psalms 9, 1 and 2. I'll say it again. Oh, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. That's God. He deserves it. He deserves it. Why don't you stand with me? Just lift your voices, your hearts, and let's just thank him. Just thank him and praise his name. Father, we love you.